first hymn this morning is 189. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Stand as we sing.
Let the children come. Please let them come up. It's an exciting day. I know I saw a few back there. There we go. Good morning. There you go. Thank you. Hey, what's happening? Oh, we got a smaller one coming. Hey, Waverly. How are you? Said, I don't want to be here. Isn't that right, Finley? Hey, so this week, when I was young, I used to listen to the radio a lot, and one of my favorite artists was a jazz guy named Chuck Mangione. And he had the song that he played on his trumpet called Feel So Good, and unfortunately, he passed away this week. But I was reminded of another song he did, which was called Hide and Seek. That's a game you guys probably play. Have you guys ever played hide and seek? Waverly, you ever play hide and seek?
Yeah.
I know you did. All right, question for you. What do they say after they count to 10? Count to 10, and then what do you say? Ready or not, here I come. You're right. Well, you know, that got me thinking about something. That's what the Lord told us. Ready or not, here I come. You know, when God died and He rose back from the dead, He came back to earth for a short time and then He went back to heaven. And He told us before He left, be ready because one day I'm going to come back. And I think it's important that we get ready because one day He's going to come back. And you know what? He told us we don't know when. We don't know when. Ready or not, here I come. That's what we're going to hear one day. And I think it's important that we're ready. How do we get ready for God coming back? I think we got crackers flying around the room. Well, one way we get ready is by reading the Bible. What else do we do? What do we do before we have breakfast, lunch, or dinner? We pray. That's exactly right. And we say prayers before bedtime, so we can get ready. There are things that we can do to get ready because one day He promised He's going to come back. All right? So I want you guys to remember that. Ready or not, here I come. We don't know when it's going to be. Hopefully it's a good moment for us and we're all doing good things. But we can be ready by doing the right things. All right, I know your time is up. Let's say a little prayer and then you can go back with Miss Michelle. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, You are so good to us. We thank You every day. We say prayers and we give thanks. We know that we do not know when You're going to come back. But ready or not, here You come, and we're so excited one day that You will come back for us. In the meantime, help us be good people. In Your name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, you guys can go in the back room with Miss Michelle now. So, such a blessing to have the kids in the house this morning, and I'm so glad they're here. Yeah, Chuck Mangione, I was a big fan. I played trombone. He played flugelhorn and had a big band, and I just loved his music. Was sad to hear he passed. We have some praises in the house. We had birthdays this week. Miss Stella had a birthday, and Roger had a birthday. That's the birthday section this morning over there. So happy birthday to both of you. I hope you had a blessed time. Other praises? The Walkers are with us this morning. Good to see you both. Jan, you're looking well, and you've done well. God is good. That's something we do remember. God is really well. But there are some people not doing so well, and we need to hold them up this morning. Miss Barbara's a little shaky on her knees with the heat. I know Lee's mother, Nancy's still a little under the weather. I got a text from Jim Evans this morning saying he and Betty Ann would not be here. She's still a little shaky. She overdid it in the heat yesterday. So there's a lot of things going on like that. I do have a praise for you. Ed Norris had surgery this week, cancer surgery, and it sounds like it's gone well. He's home recovering now. So such blessings for them. Vicky's still not doing well, so please, if you haven't had a chance to give her a call, I know she would love to hear from you, or drop her an email or something. Vicky's just been in a lot of pain, recovering from had both hips replaced, and then recently she had her hip bone go out of socket and had to be put back in place, and that sounds painful, and she said it was very painful. I did hear from Pat Nuttall. Preston's adult granddaughter, who has been paralyzed after a diving accident in the Rappahannock last month, is starting to show some signs of movement, and her clarity is coming back. She actually picked up the cell phone and called her mom the other day. So such a blessing there. Lee let me know that, excuse me, it was Dwight that let me know that Robert Gwaltney, is that correct? Yes. Is not doing well. So we need to lift him up in prayer. He's someone from Reedville that is dear to many people in this church. So we lift him up. Also, Stella's informed me that her son Jeff is going to be having some cancer surgery in early September. So we lift him up. Any other prayers, praises, or concerns before the pastor takes us to prayer? Well, as a person who was born and raised right on this road, I'm sure you miss this area dearly. But I'm glad you both are doing well and back here in Fairport Baptist Church. That's fantastic. Thank you, guys. Have a blessed day.
Thank you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious, most heavenly Father, we thank you for the care that you provide for us. We know that you watch over us. We know when we're hurting that you're there to help us. We know when we have joys, you're there to share those with us. And that you're looking over us and watching over us every day. And that you've given us your Son as a Savior to give us that time to have relationship with you here and to be with you in eternity some glorious day. And as we go each day, as an individuals and as a church, we think about what we can do for you, how we can witness for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, how we can be a church that is a shining light here in this neighborhood, in this community, and how we as individual members can go out and tell people about our Lord and Savior, and how that we can someday see more people come into this church, that they can see that we are truly a church that is on fire for you, and that we want to do our best for you. And we pray, Father, for those we've mentioned here today, those that are struggling with a disability, those with disease, or overcoming surgery, that your healing hand would be upon each of those, and give them the strength that they need, and see them safely back to us someday. And we pray, Father, for our missionaries that we have out in the world, those both here in this country and in around the world, for our great missions work. We pray for those. And a special prayer today for Sarah, who's here to speak with us and who will fill us in on her work in Guatemala. And we pray that you would bless her as she speaks today and as she continues her work there over the years to come. And we pray now that all that we do and say here is your glory and will as we come in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Alrighty, Sarah, if you'll come. I just met her this morning, but she's working in Guatemala, so I'll let her fill you in on the rest of it. Thank you.
Well, good morning. Good morning. It is wonderful to be back in this church this beautiful morning. Every time I come, I'm just struck by the love that is in the atmosphere in this place, and this is truly a blessed congregation, and I hope that you all recognize that and appreciate that. This is really a wonderful place to be and to serve and to worship together. So I want to fill you in on what's going on in our part of the world. We have some pretty exciting things happening. We are always amazed at the ways that the Lord is moving. And the last time I was here, if you remember, you took up a collection for us to purchase backpacks. I don't know if you remember that. We did purchase those backpacks. I got back to Guatemala. Our school year in Guatemala starts end of January, beginning of February. So I usually am here in the fall because that's when we're on our school break. And so I went back to Guatemala after Christmas, purchased the backpacks. It was so much fun to go into the store and just fill shopping carts, because I believe we had like 180 backpacks to buy or something. And just thinking about the ages of the children and which backpacks they would like, that was so much fun. And then giving them out to the kids and seeing their smiles. And when they come to our center, they either come before or after school. In Guatemala, the school day is only 4 hours long in the public schools. They do shifts. The schools aren't big enough for all of the children. So either you go to school from 8 to 12, or you go to school from, I believe it's 1 to 5. There's no lunch at the school. There's no cafeteria. The school is usually just a row of a few classrooms, and all of the doors open to the outside. And it's just like a row of classrooms. There's no like computer room. There's no cafeteria. There's no commons area. It's just classrooms. So the children will either go to school and then after school come directly to us where they have their lunch and their after school program, or they come to us first where we do a before school program feed them lunch, and then they go off to school. So every day we got to see these backpacks just full with school books and the kids carrying them around. And this was especially significant because we're in 2025. 2024 was when we purchased the backpacks. That was our first school year in person since COVID for Guatemala. Amen. So, yeah, amen, amen. And so the kids were finally back at school. They had their backpacks. They had their school supplies. And it was really a great year. So that was 2024. We started the year off great. We were able to purchase some new computers for our computer program in our center. The public schools don't offer any type of computer classes. And so in order for these children to get ahead and have this this head start as they go off to college, for those that choose college, a computer program is mandatory. So we offer that at our center. So last year we were able to do that with additional computers. And so it was a good year. And then this year in 2025, we've had a fabulous year as well. We started to see the children, especially the teens, were starting to lack a little bit of interest and motivation. And so we were praying, God, where do we go with this? What do we do with this? How do we really motivate these teens? And the Lord just really started working on our hearts how teenagers are different than children. We started out as a children's ministry. We morphed into a teenage ministry as well because the children didn't want to age out. They didn't want to leave. So we incorporated youth programs. But we could see that our youth programs were almost the same as our children's programs, and that just really wasn't meeting the need that teenagers have. They are becoming adults, and they needed to be treated differently. And so this year in 2025, we started a teen squad. They named themselves the Alpha Squad, which sounds so cool. They are the Alpha Squad. And the Alpha Squad is made up of teens who want to go above and beyond, and they are volunteers. So now instead of just coming and sitting and receiving like a Sunday school class or just their academic classes, they're coming and they're serving. They're helping out in the kitchens. They're cooking. They're cleaning. They're helping teach the classes. They're serving alongside our staff. And we weren't really sure how this would be received. If they would feel like we were exploiting them or if the parents would feel like we were exploiting their teens. And so it was totally voluntary. But the response we had was tremendous. The teens are so excited. And then once a month, we have a special program just for the Alpha Squad. We'll have like pizza and a movie, or, we'll do Bible studies. We do special worship sessions, something especially for them. And we've just seen a change in these young people. We had one young person who hadn't come for a whole year. He just hadn't come. And he approached us and he said, I've heard about this new program, the Alpha Squad, and I'm just so excited about that. And, we have a term here in the U.S. I don't know if they still use it, but, just that's the max. That's just the max, And so they have a similar term in Guatemala. They call it, that's the big one. And then he said, this is just really big. This is the big one, this Alpha Squad. And so this young guy said, I know I've been gone for a year, but can I come back? And he's been one of our most faithful teens, and he loves to serve in the kitchen. And he puts on his, and for Guatemalan men serving in the kitchen, this is huge, guys. This is huge. Guatemalan men they stay away from the kitchen. But he puts on his apron and he gets in there and he's chopping vegetables and he's serving the meals and he's just been so faithful. And it has been incredible to see these young people committed to serving Christ. And one of our mottos is serve Christ by serving others. And he's just been all in with that. And it's been incredible. And he's not the only one. We've got lots of testimonies of teens that have just gotten excited. And we found where they enjoy serving, and that's where we get them involved. So this young man feels more comfortable in the kitchen. He doesn't like to be the one standing up doing any of the teaching. And we've got other teens that would rather be front and center, helping out with the games and the songs and that kind of thing. And so, You know, we find where they want to serve, and that's where we plug them in. And it's just made an incredible change in their self-esteem. It's made a change in their walk with Christ because, you know, now they have these special meetings. And as they serve, they've come to know Jesus in a different way. And they show up early and they're in our devotion, our staff devotion and our staff prayer times. And so it's been really great. But I have one more testimony I want to share because I know I can't take the whole service. I could take all day long telling you the things that are going on, but I won't. We have this young man. And he is born and raised in a family of gang members, how do you say it in English? Narco traffickers?
Yes.
So his mom is serving time in prison, and he's being raised by his grandparents. He comes from a family who operates their gang from within the prison walls, still operating, still doing. And this is the atmosphere he's being brought up in. But he started coming to our Saturday program, which is we have our central campus, and then in a neighboring town we have a Saturday program. And he just fell in love with Jesus. And so as he turned 15 and became eligible for the Alpha Squad, he is also one of our most faithful volunteers. He comes every Saturday. He helps set up. He helps teach. He helps break down. If we have any special event, Father's Day, Mother's Day, Children's Day, VBS, he signs up as a teacher. He signs up to help. And he goes to church with our staff every Sunday. And then most recently for our Mother's Day event, when we said, you know, let's have the staff come up and pray over the mothers, since he had been a volunteer now for almost 2 years, because he actually started volunteering before we had an official Alpha Squad. And so he came up with the staff and started praying over the mothers. This is a 15-year-old, I believe he's recently turned 16, 16-year-old young man who's just decided to leave behind a life of crime and serve the Lord full time. And I believe there's a calling on his life. I just truly believe that. And so he approached our staff at the beginning of the school year to say, if you have any extra work that needs to be done, I'm paying to put myself through school. My family won't pay for me to go to school, but I want to do something with my life. I want to be an accountant, and I don't want a life of crime. So he would collect trash on the streets and turn it in for money. He was doing people's yards, and a yard in Guatemala is like 24 by 24 feet. It's not very big, you know, but he'd take his machete and go out and clean off the bushes and do the things, and was making pennies. And so, he asked if we had any extra work. And so we gave him some work, but then we also found someone, a church in Richmond, that would sponsor his studies. And so they've paid for the next 2 years of schooling for him. So now he doesn't have to work so hard, you know, because sometimes he wasn't even able to come up with his monthly tuition. And so now he's got his monthly tuition paid for the next 2 years. He's extremely grateful. He's seen the hand of God in his life. He gives God the glory for sponsoring his education. And he's just an example of when God touches your life, how it changes you. And he is a changed young man, breaking away from his family norm to embrace the gospel. And this is a redemptive work that only Jesus can do. Amen. Amen. So these are just a couple of testimonies of how God is changing the lives of the young people. And we are just his vessels. But we are honored to be his vessels, and we are honored to partner with you in this. Your church has been such a support to us over the years that I want you to know one day when you get to heaven, you're going to meet these young people that I'm telling you about. They are going to be there to welcome you into the gates of heaven and just to thank you personally for your faithfulness, which has made such a difference, just made an eternal difference in the lives of these families. So thank you, and God bless you.
Thank you.
Thanks, sir. We don't want to omit this song. This is my theme song. Victory in Jesus, 353.
This is mine, too.
Stand as we sing. Amen. Have a seat.
We're going to take the regular collection, then we're going to come back and make a special collection for our lady from Tomar. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Let's have a wonderful Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to be here. Most of all, we thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that we know you're going to be doing. God, in the reference here at Fairport, that we might be that which you would have us to be as a servant, as the one, as a mission, glory to tell others about Jesus Christ. Thank you for this young lady who has come forth today, Father, to tell us that God is on the move, not only here, but all through the world. We come now, Father, to ask you to bless the gift and the giver that we might continue the blessings of this church to present the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's in his precious name we pray.
I'm in this church is because they do support missions and they have it in their heart, so or I wouldn't be here.
Amen.
I'll share with you maybe afterwards. I did a volunteer missions trip to Tanzania some years ago as an evangelism team leader, and I had an opportunity to speak in a schoolhouse, and 43 children accepted Christ that day. Wow. I will see them someday in heaven. Mm-hmm. And you reminded me of that. A man once stopped by a minister's study to discuss with him the possibility of becoming a member of the congregation. As the discussion progressed, the man indicated his desire to unite with the church. Pleased, the minister asked, "Now, what have you decided, in which area would you like to serve?" "Oh, I'm not interested in anything like that," he replied. "I just want to join the church." The minister patiently tried to explain that every member had some kind of work in the church. Some are Sunday school teachers, some visit the sick, some sing in the choir, but we try to have a job for everyone. "I didn't know this was this kind of church," he interrupted. "I believe I'll visit some other churches before I make a decision." The minister smiled as he replied, "This is the church of the Savior. Perhaps the church you're looking for is the Church of the Heavenly Rest. It's down the street next to the cemetery." Do you know of a dead and dying church? Churches that are living in, on their past history, sitting on their laurels, so to speak, talking about the way it used to be, its past glory. A church with a reputation, yet to God, it is lifeless. Today, this may shock you if you don't already know, in our Southern Baptist Convention churches, over 80% of the churches are plateaued and or dying. There are churches of all denominations that are closing their doors, going out of business. I see that all around. Many churches are struggling and are lifeless. What is the condition of your church? That's just a question I want to ask you. Think about that as we go and look at this. We're going to look at the church at Sardis today, the dead church. And that's in Revelation chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. So if you have your Bible, we're going to turn there. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that thou art ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh the same, he shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. As always, a letter is written to somebody. And first off, it's written to the pastor of the church. He's the minister. He's the one that is to be on fire for the Lord. Amen. The one who puts Christ first in his life. I don't know if you have already discovered, he's first in my life. My wife discovered that when I went into the ministry, and we had a talk about it one day. And she knew, and we talked about it, she knew that Jesus Christ was my first love. And she knew, and we talked about that, that made me a better husband, that made me a better father, and it made me a better person all around. Put Christ first. And then he's the one who has committed his all to Jesus. I can say that. I've spent the last 43 years giving my all to him. But many churches have a way of putting out that fire. There are members sometimes that don't want to be disturbed. They don't want to hear the hard truth of the gospel. They don't want to hear about sin. They don't want to hear about those kind of things. They just want some warm, fuzzy feeling sermon. They're not hungry for the word. Now, I've been in some churches like this, and people are just not hungry for the word. But you need to be hungry for the word. That's what we feed upon. That's our spiritual food. Many times they throw water on the minister's fire. They put that fire out. Ministers come to churches with a vision from God, and the church kills the vision. I've had that happen, and it happens so much to young ministers that come in with on fire for the Lord, and you know they don't realize that they're dealing with people, and they're not all up to it like he is, and they will quench that fire. I had a church. I spent 4 years as pastor. I went there. It was a struggling church. I got them on their feet. Got them moving, but they just wasn't growing. They grew a little, but just wasn't like it should be. Had a homecoming. The pastor that had been there previously before me had been there for many years. Told me, he said, this church was no bigger when he came than when he left. And I had a special study done for this church. We had a new director of missions who happened to be down in the Peninsula Association, and the church was in Newport News. And he had experience in doing these studies for churches. So I asked him, would you come do a study on my church and let's see what we need to do and make some recommendations? He'd be glad to. So he came and spent a couple of months. He came and to some of the services, listened to my messages. He went and even talked to some of the people. And then he formed a plan. And he gave me this plan. So anyway, I read it over. So Wednesday night, I announced to the church coming on Wednesday night, we were going to... in a business meeting, I was going to present that plan to the church. And I sat there and I presented the plan. And no more than I got done, and a lady's voice back in it back says, "That's just too ambitious for us." And you know what? Little voice said to me inside, "Now you can go." I'd done all I could do for them, and they just didn't want to do. And I ended up moving on to another fellowship, another church. To the congregation at Sardis, to the church, it's a mountain town. It was once thought to be impregnable, but it was conquered twice. And it was a complacent city living on the past. And then the speaker, who's the speaker? Of course, is Jesus Christ. Who has the seven spirits of God, the sevenfold ministry of the Spirit? What is it? Well, one, what is the Spirit? He's the comforter. He's the paraclete. He's the one that comes alongside. He's the one that comforts us through all the difficulties in life, through the sorrows and through the pains, through the loss of loved ones, to sickness, loss of job, whatever it may be, he's there to comfort us. He's the Spirit of truth. What is the truth? The truth is Jesus Christ. He is all of life. He holds it in his hand. That is the truth. He's the Savior. He is the personal presence of Christ in our lives. When Jesus comes into our life, we accept him as Lord and Savior. The Holy Spirit enters our lives. It's through that. He is the manifestation of Christ in the believers' lives. And that's what shows forth when we minister to other people and we witness and so forth. He's the abiding presence in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, there are those that don't believe in the Trinity because they say the word Trinity is not in the Bible. No, the word Trinity is not in the Bible, but the Trinity is here. They believe that Jesus is a created being, like an angel. And they believe the Holy Spirit is an impersonal power of God. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is the teacher. When you go to study the Bible, whether it be for studying or for your own personal edification, devotion, whatever it may be, you pray that the Holy Spirit guide you and help you to teach you as you go. I had a few extra moments this morning. Usually I get up and I get ready and I go in there and I sit down and go over my outline one more time. Then I sit there and then I pray. Then I had a few extra minutes and I thought, I'm going to open up. So I just opened, I don't know, and sometimes I just flip the Bible open and Psalms 42. And I sit there and read Psalms 42 for my own personal edification. And the Spirit just said to me, you know, take a little extra devotion. You got the time this morning. And that's what I did. He is the peace of Christ. He's what brings that peace in our lives. When we have Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we know we have a fellowship with the Father, and he gives us that peace without understanding. It's the seven stars in his hands, the minister of the seven churches. And of course, the seven churches that are addressed here in Revelations. They were chosen by the hand of Christ to do what he wanted in the churches. What is it? The church is his. He's the foundation. It's his. The minister is placed in the dead church by Christ. He is to arouse the dead church. And I guess he can go but so far and so long And if it doesn't arouse, then just like that one church is, it, Lord, it move on. There's a complaint. He has a complaint. There's no condemnation, no commendation here to this church. No commendation whatsoever, but he has a complaint. Nothing good to say about them. He says they're dead. They're not a spiritual church. They appear alive. They have works. They have ministries. They got programs. They got activities. They were a prosperous church. They were busy. They had good fellowship one with another. But Christ says they're dead. They're not spiritual. They worship, but deny the power of Christ in worship. They focused on their activities instead of Christ. There's so many churches that have all these activities and social stuff and going on. Their activities were to keep the church going rather than learning about Christ and sharing Him. Their services and activities were for social fellowship, not for spiritual growth and edification of the body. They sat in worship and Bible studies as a matter of form instead of hungering and thirsting after righteousness. They focused on ritual, ceremony, and worship instead of Christ. They were a classic example of apathy and complacency. There was a young man who was always given trouble, a teenager in school. So the teacher had had enough, took him to the principal's office and sat him back down one more time. And the principal asked him, he says, "What do you think the problem is, young man? Is it ignorance or apathy?" He said, "I don't know and I don't care." Dead churches. There was a paramedic that was interviewed one time and asked about his most memorable call. He said he was called to a church on Sunday morning. There was a report that a man was having a heart attack. They said they took out three men before they got the right one. There is some advice given. Wake up. Watch. Be alert. To come to life spiritually. To respond to Christ and God's word. To move when the Spirit tugs at the heart. You know, that's the problem a lot of times. The Spirit is tugging and people are just pushing it off. To strengthen what little remains. They are at death's door. Put new life in the necessary ministries. None before were right in God's eyes. There is a warning. Four things here. Remember, recall, think back. Where was the moment? How did you receive Christ into your life? Think about that moment. I can think about mine. Today, I'm 79 years old, but I can think about a 12-year-old boy that stood there and probably in that church, that if you look, you probably my nail prints in the pew that I was hanging on to. I've probably told you before, some of you haven't heard it. I was in church. My mother was homesick, but my father and my brother and I had gone to church, gone to Sunday school as always, and we were in the worship service and had heard the message. And the pastor gave the invitation, and we're singing the invitation song. And he had a habit sometimes of stopping in the middle of the invitation, and extending the invitation, and then we'd sing again. And while we were singing, and I said, "Well, Lord, if he extends the invitation today, I'll go forward." Lo and behold, he extended the invitation, started to sing again. The next thing, I do not remember how I got from that pew to standing in front of that pastor giving my life to the Lord. And my dad turns, looks, and sees me, and then looks, and I'm gone. And just my brother standing there. They had no idea I was going to go forward that day. But I had been fighting it. The tug on me. And that's what he does. He tugs on us. He wants us to. Another thing my seminary professor of evangelism used to say, the hound of heaven is on your track. And that's what it is. He's on our track. So how did you receive him? Your conversion. What was it like? Think back on that. And everybody usually, when they accept Christ, the initial moments and the excitement in their lives, and that's what he wants them to go back to. Hold fast. You must be aroused. You must be awakened. Grip tight to that original spirit that came into your life. You must repent. They were doing wrong. They were sinning against Christ. They needed to confess and to get right. Need to seek Christ so that he could stir their hearts and put their hearts on fire for him. There was this little town, and the church one night caught on fire. I mean, it was literal fire. And as people were come to fight the fire, one person looked, and there was the town atheist standing there. And he was just looking, and he said, "What in the world are you doing here?" He said, "I'd always heard about churches being on fire, but," he says, "I wanted to come to actually see one." Judgment of Christ will fall if you fail to repent. Unexpectedly, like a thief in the night. He's told us that in the scriptures before. Come like a thief in the night. You don't know. Have you ever had a thief come to your home? I did some years ago. My wife and I and children, it was before I went into ministry. We were living in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And we'd gone home one weekend up to Norfolk to visit family. And we got a call while I was there from one of our neighbors. Our house had been broken into. They didn't call and make an appointment. They didn't tell me they were coming. And that's the way Jesus is. He's going to come unexpectedly. Like a thief in the night, he's going to show up. You got to be ready. He said they will be stripped. They will be left worthless. No value to God. Now he says there's a promise. To those that are undefiled, a few faithful followers remain spiritual. Their lives were Christ-centered. The church to them was a place to worship Christ and to receive guidance for righteous living. They would walk in white, a symbol of purity and faithfulness, unspotted by the world. He says, to the overcomers, to be clothed in white, will not be blotted out of the book of life. You know this? Every person that is born is written into the book of life. And if you are an unbeliever, you die lost, your book, your name is scratched out. That's the second death. Now, don't confuse that with the Lamb's Book of Life. That's indelible. When you become a believer, you're written into the Lamb's Book of Life. You can't be written out of that, folks. That's eternity. Those in the book will be acknowledged by the Lord Jesus Christ. Those who acknowledged him, he will acknowledge. He said, you profess me before men, and I will profess you before my Father. Amen. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. It's speaking to that church that day. It's speaking to this church today and every church in the land. We must be alive. We must be on fire spiritually, and we must repent of any complacency. Many today churches are dead. People confuse membership with salvation. Membership is not salvation. They confuse baptism with salvation. Baptism is not salvation. People say they are Christians, but their lives do not exhibit it. What makes you a Christian? Accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, believing in the work he did on the cross for you, and in nothing else. That's salvation. Then when you come Then you come a member of the church, you get baptized, and then you do the work for the Lord. There's no salvation apart from repentance. All are sinners. All must repent. All must receive the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ into their lives. There's a need for recommitment in churches many today. There was a young minister, his first church. I can think back to my first one while I was going to seminary. Boy, that was something else. He was enthusiastic. He became quickly disappointed. Services were poorly attended. There seemed to be no spiritual life in the church. He couldn't get the members to attend because church was so dead. He announced he was going to conduct a funeral service on a Sunday morning for the dead church. The church was packed. In front of the pulpit was a coffin. He told how much the church had accomplished in the past and was now considered dead. He expressed his sorrow over its untimely death. He invited the congregation to come forward and view the corpse. In the bottom of the open coffin was a mirror. As they looked in it, they saw their own faces. Now many were shocked and indignant. But then they began to realize it was their own spiritual indifference. It was the reason the church was dead. Think about this. Remember, the church reflects you. Do you know him today? Is he your Lord and Savior? Did he die for you? It's a personal thing. Not has to do with anybody else but you and him. And are you living for him today? And are you serving your church? I'll answer the question. This church is alive. No, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't have come back out of retirement for the second time. Love the Lord for all he's done for us. Do you know him? Has he loved you? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word today. To look at this dead church. And we pray, Father, that we take lesson from it and we never get into that complacency. That we always keep you first. We always preach you in the cross. We always lift you up. And we always lift you up before the world. And in our own personal lives and as a church as a whole. And we pray that we continue to go forth, reaching out, doing missions, and reaching lives for you. And we pray that now, if there's anyone here that does not know Jesus personally, right now, that this very moment, that Spirit tugging on their heart, letting them know they need to repent, they need to be saved. And the only way to do that is accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. For this we all pray in his holy and precious name. Amen. 482, Jesus is calling. trust the Lord spoke to you today. To next week, we'll look at the church at Philadelphia. He got some nice things to say about that church. And then we're going to church at Laodicea, and he said, "You make me sick." So that's what's remaining on the schedule for preaching. Today I'm due here, and what I'm going to do, I'm going to ask Sarah, if you'll come over and stand with me, and then when you leave, you can come over and speak to her, and stand there, and then I'll do the benediction. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time together. We thank you for Sarah being here and filling us in on her work. And we thank you for all that you do for us in our lives. And keep us now as we go out of the world. We go as ambassadors for you, for we go in Jesus' name. Amen.